Exodus chapter 17. And our text for today is the verse 6. Exodus 17, verse 6. The Lord speaking to Moses said, "Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. The children of Israel are once again on the move. Verse 1 tells us they journeyed from the wilderness of Sin and pitched in Rephidim. We discover from the book of Numbers that Israel made two other stops between the wilderness of Sin and where they pitched their tents in Rephidim. In Numbers chapter 33, we read there in the verse 12, "When they took their journey out of the wilderness of Sin, and then camped in Dophka. And they departed from Dophka and encamped in Alush. And they removed from Alush and encamped in Rephidim, where was no water for the people to drink." And so the book of Exodus does not record anything about those other two locations. No doubt because there was nothing significant took place there. But now we see that their stay at Rephidim was quite different for them. But how this typifies the life of each one of us. As we journey through this world, there are days when nothing of any significance takes place. And one day goes by as the day before. And then suddenly, our peace is disturbed, and some event causes us to worry and to trouble us, like the children of Israel. And how we handle and deal with those trying circumstances will make the difference as to how we get through those times of trouble. How Moses dealt with this trial at Rephidim was very different from how the children of Israel handled the situation where they'd come to Rephidim and there was no water. You see the contrast between how Moses dealt with the situation and how the children of Israel dealt with it. And of course it is always good and comforting when in life's trials we get a view of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's exactly what happened in the wilderness for Moses and for the elders there in Israel. Because when we consider the rock that was smitten by Moses, and out of which came the water that the children of Israel could drink, we have there a great picture of Christ. The rock is a type of the Lord Jesus. And that was the experience of Moses and the elders of Israel when they came to the rock in Horeb. So as we consider these few verses today, may we also get a glimpse of Christ. May we also see Him whom our soul loveth. First of all, we want to consider the pathway for Israel. The Lord had a plan and a pathway for His people Israel to take as they journeyed through the wilderness toward the land of promise. They weren't just to wander anywhere in the wilderness, but the Lord had a plan and a pathway for them. So regarding this pathway for Israel, we notice the leading of the Lord. We read there in the verse 1 that they went from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim. And so they came to Rephidim according to the commandment of the Lord. They were led by the Lord to go there and pitch their tent there. Like a good shepherd, the Lord was leading His sheep through the wilderness. And as the little chorus declares, "My Lord knows the way through the wilderness, all I have to do is follow." And so as we journey through this wilderness world, how thankful we are that we have one, even our good shepherd, who will lead us through the wilderness. Regarding our decisions in life, regarding the direction we take in life, we can rest on the Lord's leading. Be familiar with the words of Proverbs, chapter 3. And there in verse 5, we read, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." Don't depend on your own understanding. "In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct our paths. And certainly if we acknowledge Him, He will lead us and guide us always. He'll always lead us and guide us the right way. David prayed in Psalm 27 and verse 11, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path." And so there David is depending on the Lord to lead us. "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path." The word plain path, that word plain there means a level place. And of course, if we walk on a level place, there's little chance of us falling. And here David says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path. Lead me in a level place." It's interesting that the place that Israel pitched their tents, Rephidim. Rephidim means plains. The plains of Rephidim. And so where the Lord led them, He led them to the plains of Rephidim, where it was level, just as David said. "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path." That's exactly what the Lord did for Israel. Israel was led by the Lord and led in a plain path, to a plain place. So you have the leading, and then you have the lack. We are told that when they came to Rephidim, there was no water for the people to drink. Now remember, the Lord led them there. The Lord led them to Rephidim. The Lord led them to the place where there was no water. And when we look at that, we see here then a trial for Israel. Was this not indeed a great trial for Israel? They had been led by the Lord there, and they had been led to a place where there was no water. The Lord, of course, had brought Israel to this place as he had done on a previous occasion. Didn't the Lord lead them to Marah, when the waters were so bitter they could not drink those waters? And we know how they cried out against Moses and criticized them for leading them there. Of course, we know how the Lord remedied the situation when he showed Moses a tree and he cast it into the water and the bitter waters were made sweet. See, the Lord's always controlled. He's in control of every situation. Here we have Israel then in the pathway of obedience. They had come to Rephidim according to the commandment of the Lord. The Lord had led them there. They had obeyed the Lord. And when they obeyed the Lord, they came to a place where there was no water. Matthew Henry said, we may be in the way of our duty. We may be in the way of our duty and yet meet with troubles. And that's true. We think of the disciples over in Mark chapter 4. And there in Mark 4, we read in verse 35, in the same day when the even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. The Lord Jesus spoke to the disciples. He said that let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also others with him, other little ships. We know what happened. The Lord went to the ship, he fell down and went to sleep. A great storm arose, and the disciples went to the Lord, said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And then he said unto them, he addressed the wind and the sea, and then he addressed the disciples. What did he say to the disciples? Why are you so fearful? Why is it that you have no faith? You see, there they were in the will of God. They were in the center of God's will. They had the Lord with them. And even though they were in the center of God's will, they faced great difficulty. Such was the difficulty, they actually thought they were going to perish. We need to realize that because we obediently follow the Lord, that doesn't mean we'll never face difficulty and we'll never have trials. Very often the very opposite is the case. When you obey the Lord, think of all the trials that the Apostle Paul faced, and Paul followed the Lord fully. Like Caleb, he followed the Lord fully. We noted that when we consider the events of Acts 16. We noted there in Acts 16 and in verse 6, And when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, and they came to Nicaea, they said to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. What's happening? The Lord is guiding Paul. He's leading him. He's not allowing him to turn to the left or to the right. And so where did he lead him to? He led him to Philippi. And there at Philippi, he's in the center of God's will. And what happened at Philippi? He was beaten mercilessly out of prison. He was in the center of God's will. But there he was in the center of the will of God, and we find him beaten and this reminds us of that lovely hymn by a lady called Annie Johnson Flint. The words of the first verse of the chorus: God hath not promised, sky is always blue, flowers strewn pathway all our lives through. God hath not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. God, but God hath promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, life for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love. Those are tremendous words. They're so true. No, God hath not promised skies always blue, but what he has promised, unfailing sympathy and undying love. So here it was Israel, and they had been brought by the Lord to a place, Rephidim, where there was no water. The Lord brought them there. Weren't there by accident? They were led by the Lord. So that was a trial for Israel. That was also a test for Israel. We see that God led Israel to this very place where there was no water. We may wonder why the Lord brought Israel there. You think of it. Why did the Lord bring them there? There's no water. Was it not to test his people? Was the Lord's plan not to test Israel? Was this not a test of their faith? And to see if they would trust in God? If they would have faith in God, as we are exhorted by John to do, have faith in God? Well, here was an opportunity for Israel to have faith in God. They had seen what the Lord had done for them at Marah. Did they not think about that? Here they had come now to Rephidim, and they had no water. It was time to have faith in God. It was a test. So when trials come our way, is the Lord not testing our faith? Is the Lord not testing us to see if we will trust him to bring us through? Just as the faith of the disciples, we mentioned again, the disciples in the storm. Now what the Lord challenged them about, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? It was a test of their faith. the Lord had told them to get into the ship and let us go over onto the other side. Now, the Lord said they were going to the other side. They would reach the other side. It didn't matter what would come between. But they seem to have forgotten all that the Lord had said. And there's the Lord with them in the vessel. He's asleep, yes, but he's still with them. And the storm blew up. And imagine they challenged the Lord. Carest thou not that we perish? You know, you can say some terrible things when you're afraid. The disciples were afraid. And they charged the Lord with not caring. You'll see shortly, Israel did exactly the same thing. And for Israel, as it was for the disciples, this was a test of their faith. And the trials of life come our way, and they put our trust and our fear in God to the test. It is in such circumstances that we are brought to know how strong our faith is. You know, when all's going well, and as was said the day before, the day is the same as the day before, and all's going well, and the sun is shining, our faith really isn't tested. But when the trials come, when the storms of life come, that's when our faith in God and our trust in God is really tested. Remember what Job said? After all that Job had lost, and all that he had suffered, Job said, "Yea, though he slay me, still I will trust him." There was Job's faith in God, severely tested, but didn't he come through well? "Though he slay me, he's taken my children and lost all my cattle and lost my health. My wife has said, 'Curse God and die.'" Job said, "Though he slay me, still I will trust him. I'll still trust him." 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 7 we read that the trial of your fear, the trial of your fear, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. There, Peter says the trial of your faith is precious, even much more precious than gold. Because when your faith is tried and tested, you then discover how strong you really are and how strong your faith is and how strong is your trust in God. So we have considered the leaving of Israel and the lack for Israel. It leads us now to consider the lament of Israel. Upon their arrival at Rephidim, Israel discovered there was no water for the people to drink. Wonder what they would do. There they had been brought by the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim. but there's no water. I wonder what Israel are doing now. Here was the test. Well, what did they do? Well, what they have done, what they did before, and what they did repeatedly. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses. They immediately turned their attention to Moses. They didn't look up to the Lord who had delivered them before, to the Lord who supplied them with water at Marah. No, they didn't look up. They looked across at Moses. And we're told the children of Israel did chide with Moses. And of course, this is no new thing as far as the children of Israel are concerned. Exodus 5:21, Exodus 14:12, Exodus 16:3, and now Exodus 17:1. Same thing again. They chide with Moses. And so we see then that Israel had not learned anything. Hadn't learned anything from their previous trials. They hadn't learned to trust the Lord. They hadn't learned to have faith in God. They took it out of Moses every time. Their criticism was of him. Followed the same pattern. They just seemed to be that type of people who always murmured. We're always complaining. We're always contending with Moses. David in Psalm 106 speaks of that. He gives us a picture of Israel and how they are a people who always murmured, always complained. Always. Psalm 106 verse 21. And they forgot God their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. Wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. They forgot all of that. Therefore, he said, that he would destroy them, had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Yea, they despised the pleasant land, they believed not his word, but murmured. Murmured in their tents, and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. David say? Yea, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word, the pleasant land. They murmured and they complained right until they got the king. And they were still complaining. They complained about the pleasant land and they forgot the Lord's word. Boy, that you feel sorry for Moses. But that's what he had to contend with for 40 years in the wilderness. Every time something went wrong, they murmured. They had their chiding with Moses. And then we notice the counsel of Moses. You look there at verse 2. They've been chiding with Moses. saith, give us water that we may drink. Just, you know, demanding, give us water. And Moses said unto them, here's the counsel of Moses. Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? He's counseling them. Moses reminded them that their criticism was not of him. Their criticism was of the Lord. This Moses had told them before when they murmured against himself and there in Exodus 16 and there in verse 8. And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat and in the morning bread to the full. For that the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmured against him. And what are we? What are we? Moses basically said, we're nobodies. What are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. What you're saying to me and to Aaron, you're really saying it to the Lord. You can blame me and you can blame Aaron, but you're really blaming the Lord. Moses had sought to give them good counsel, but it wasn't appreciated. As we see, they went on condemning Moses and went on speaking against the Lord. He gave them good counsel, but it wasn't appreciated. Like Paul. And Paul says to the believers in Galatia, they didn't like some of the things Paul had said. They didn't like the counsel that Paul had given to them, even though it was for their good. And even though it was the truth from God himself, but they didn't like it. And they turned against Paul. And this is what he said. Am I therefore become your enemy? Because I tell you the truth. And have I become your enemy? Because I tell you the truth. Moses told Israel the truth. And they didn't like it. Many a churchgoer was turned against the minister of the church because they didn't like what he said. Even though it was good counsel and even though it was the truth. As well as the chiding with Moses, the counsel of Moses, we see also the charge against Moses. Again, verse 3, and the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses. They went on murmuring. Moses has counseled them. Moses has told them what they're doing. You're not chiding with us. You're chiding with God. Your criticism's not at us. Criticism is of God. It didn't make any difference. For we read in verse 3, and the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou, in spite of what you just told me, that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? What a terrible thing to say. They're saying, Moses, you have done this. even after the counsel that he gave them, the children of Israel went even further in their criticism of him. What a wicked fleshly thing to say to this man of God. There's nothing only the children of Israel at heart. He was a true man of God. And when they had chided with them, he didn't turn around and criticize them and condemn them. He told them the truth. You're not chiding with me, you're chiding with God. There'd be no difference. Because they went on and brought this charge against Moses. Wherefore is this that God has brought us up out of Egypt to kill us? And our children and our cattle with thirst. There's Moses. And he was doing his best for Israel. As they say, Moses had Israel at heart. And he was doing his best, and he was advising them and counseling them and leading them as commanded by the Lord. He was doing what God told him to do. But Israel turned against it in their bitterness. And said, you brought us here to kill us. They become bitter. And when a man is eaten up with bitterness, he loses his sense of reason. He's not able to think straight, as can be seen. And what Israel was saying. It's not recorded here, but it is in the verse 7. Look at the verse 7 of Exodus 17. The verse 7. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, this is what they said. When they were chiding with Moses, criticizing Moses, this is what they also said. Is the Lord among us or not? Is the Lord among us or not? In other words, what they were saying, they were charging the Lord with deserting them. They were charging the Lord with abandoning them. They were charging the Lord with forsaking them. Is the Lord among us or not? Has he left us? He's brought us to a place where there's no water. He's forsaken us. That's what they believe. They hadn't learned anything from what had taken place at Marah. They hadn't learned anything from what took place at the Red Sea when the Lord divided the waters. Hadn't learned anything from how the Lord overthrew Pharaoh and his pursuing chariots and horsemen. Hadn't learned a thing. Immediately, something went wrong. They complained. Hadn't learned anything from the supply of manna. In spite of all that the Lord had done for them, this is what they said about him. Is the Lord among us or not? The pathway for Israel. I just look at the first sub-point of our next point, and that is, as well as the pathway for Israel, give the prayer for Israel. This is what sets Moses out as the mighty man of God that he was. Remember, we made the point at the beginning of this study, when the Lord speaks about Moses, he refers to him as the man of God. That lifts him up above others. He's the man of God. And yes, we've seen how he handled Israel, and we see again how he handles them once more with his prayer for Israel. Here we see the contrast between Moses and the children of Israel in dealing with this difficult situation. Here we see, first of all, the response of Moses. They come to the place where there's no water. They're there according to the leading of the Lord. And they are there, and Moses has had to listen to the criticism of the children of Israel and listen to them speaking against the Lord. What's Moses' response? Well, just what you would expect from any man of God. Verse 4. And Moses cried unto the Lord. That's what he did. Children of Israel cried against Moses. But Moses cried unto the Lord. Israel ought to have been thanking God that they have such a wise and spiritual man as their leader. Because we see that going to prayer in the time of trouble was a common practice of Moses. Whenever trouble arose in the leading of the children of Israel, he took the matter to the Lord in prayer. Again and again and again and again. Exodus 15:25. Exodus 32:31-32. Numbers 11:1-11. Numbers 12:13. Numbers 14:11-13. There you have half a dozen examples of Moses. When trouble came, what did he do? He took it to the Lord in prayer. But we should remember something. Now, whenever Moses prayed, he was praying for those who had criticized him. He was praying for those who had condemned him and accused him of bringing them there to a certain place to kill them. He prayed for those who were those who had made Moses their enemy. Yes, Moses was the man of God. I'll tell you something. We look at Moses, and he was a very Christ-like man. You think of how Moses dealt with the criticism against him. He dealt with it just as the Savior did. For when the Savior was reviled, he reviled not. Moses, when he was reviled, "You're going to kill us," they said. "Our children and our cattle, you brought us here to kill us." He was reviled, but he reviled not again. Instead, what did he do? He prayed for his enemies, those who accept the sales off, how's it that way? It's not Christ-like. From the cross, he cried, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And the Lord said, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you, persecute you. Matthew 5:44. That's what sets Moses apart. And that's what sets the Christian apart. The man who bears the likeness of Christ, who will pray for his or her enemies in spite of the things they have said or done against them. Such was Moses. We're going to leave it there for this morning. Take up the study again this evening. And Lord willing, tonight we'll get to the rock. The rock that is higher than I. The rock that's Jesus. Let's bow our heads and pray. Our loving, eternal Father, we thank thee for the testimony, the example these great men, women of the Bible set for us. Lord, we've seen something of this man of God, Moses, and how he responded to criticism, and how he dealt with the bitterness of the children of Israel, and how he handled their railing accusations against him. And how like Christ Moses is, and Moses was. Lord, give us that desire to be more Christ-like, to be more like the Savior. We look at his earthly ministry and how he dealt over and over again with the criticism of the Pharisees and those who were arrayed against him. O Lord, make us like thyself. Pray, Lord, that we will have learned from thy word today. We'll learn more even about the rock Christ Jesus tonight. Lord, apply the word to all of our hearts. We might become better Christians, more Christ-like Christians. So, Lord, be with us now as we part the one from the other. Thanking thee again for all who are gathered in the Lord's house today. And Lord, as we each one make our way home, grant us traveling mercy. We earnestly pray to that end. Grant us all traveling mercy. I be pleased, Lord, in thy will to bring us to thy house this evening again. We might study the word together and see him whom our soul loves. I know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, abide and remain with us.